Eric Weisberg, what are your memories of Earl Scruggs?
Well, I really hardly ever met him, actually, personally. One time at Newport, the early folk festival. But my memories are that he turned the lights on for all of us, really. I mean, especially in the North. The way it happened for me was I was in seventh grade, I believe, at Elizabeth Irwin High School in Greenwich Village, and I was invited with one of my old buddies, if you could be old at that age, to do a pageant for an assembly in the school. And the pageant was Americana thing. It was a square dance, and I was actually going to play fiddle, and my friend Mickey Vandow was going to play guitar, and an older fellow, two or three years older than we were, was playing banjo. And we were set up on the stage in the auditorium of the school, and the banjo player was right behind me. He was on a riser, so the banjo head was right behind my head, and we were going to play a square dance tune, and there were going to be some kids square dancing on the stage. And so we started playing Cripple Creek or something like that, and I started going nuts in my mind, because right behind my head was somebody not playing Pete Seeger style, not strumming. That was the only style that I really knew, and I started taking banjo lessons from Pete when I was like 6 years old. And he was the banjo guy, but this guy was behind my head, was picking, and it was making me crazy all through this. I couldn't stand it, but we finished the tune. I turned around and I said to him, his name was Mike Steig, I said, "You have to show me that." And he refused to show it to me. What he was doing.
I know those
he
guys.
He never showed it to
I know those
me,
guys.
Ever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So actually, his girlfriend at the time, Dina Fox, who also went to Camp Woodland up here in Phoenicia where I went, he had showed her the rudimentary thing. So she showed it to me, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2. Thumb, you know.
These are known as rolls. Yeah.
Rolls, yes. Yeah. Yeah, this is the most rudimentary roll. This is what he was doing and what she showed me. And then, not all that long after that, maybe even only a couple of weeks, somebody told me, maybe it was she again, who told me about there's a place on 14th Street near the park there where you could get, it was a small record store, Berliner's Records, and where you could get, they had some bluegrass records there. And so I went there, and in the back of this small record shop, they had some booths where you could take a pick a record out of the rack and bring it in there, you know, kind of preview it and listen to it, you know. So I bought one and brought it home. I still have it. It was called, it wasn't an instrumental, it was a tune called I'll Stay Around. And I put it on my dad's, for some reason or other, way back then, this is 1951, something like that. He had a variable speed turntable.
Interesting.
And, so I put the record on there, and I slowed it way down and actually taught myself how to play by doing that with this particular record. Then, but I was going back and forth and getting some more records, and then I finally got an instrumental one. Not sure which one it was, but and that's really how I taught myself how to play bluegrass banjo. By slowing down Earl's records and some of Don Reno's records a little bit later, but that was a complete revelation to me. I kept checking the turntable. I said, "This got to be at the wrong speed. It can't possibly, nobody can play that many notes. It's impossible." And then I just kept doing it, and I got better, you know.
Do you feel loss today with Earl Scruggs dying? I mean, I'm just feeling very sentimental about all of this. And, of course, I haven't reached your heights, but I'm a banjo player. I've been playing banjo badly for my whole life, and it means a great deal to me.
Yes, it actually does, because all these memories keep flooding back the progress of bluegrass up north. At that early stage, there really was virtually none. I mean, Roger Sprung was playing some, and
right.
A guy from New Jersey named Willie Dykeman was playing, and we used to play in Washington Square. every Sunday during the summer and this kind of thing. But there was very, very, very little information, and most of it came off records. And actually, I still have some of these records, these 78s, that we learned from. And it's definitely a loss for, obviously, for the whole bluegrass community because, like I said, to me, he turned the lights on for everybody. In 1959, I was playing bass with Leon Bibb.
Sure.
And he got a gig playing at the first Newport Folk Festival.
Right.
So we went up there, and on the festival was Flatten Scruggs. And so one of those nights of, you know, there's a huge stage elevated 15 feet or whatever, you know, off the ground and stuff like so people could see. So I was hanging out backstage one night during the concert, and I decided to go down to the ground level behind the stage building and just wander around there. It was just a lawn kind of thing. There was a little bit of light shining there. Anyway, I wandered down there and started just walking around and I look down at the ground and I see this white thing, a light colored, looked like a card, some kind of a card or a piece of paper, and I just bent down to see what it was because there was nothing else there. And I pick it up and I turn it over and it's a badge that you wear, a performer's badge kind of thing. You know, pin it onto your shirt and stuff like that. And I look at it and it's Earl Scruggs' performer's badge.
Wow.
Which must have fallen off his shirt or something. And I picked it up and I said, this is awesome. How could it be me who's finding this? Anyway, I put it in my pocket and I still have it. This is from 1959. It's hanging in that very same garage I was talking about.
What a sign.
The thing is getting fixed. Okay, the following year, or maybe 2 years later, by that time I had joined the Tarriers and we got invited to play. Right, so I got my own badge then, and the two of them are hanging in what I call Toad Hall, where I keep all my motorcycles and stuff, in there, right next to each other, Earl Scruggs' performer's badge from 1959, and mine from the following year. One of my treasures, I mean, really.
Eric Weisberg, thank you for your remembrances and for doing this with us. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.